The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not subject us to the final test." Jesus said to him, "Suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him.' And he says in reply from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked. My children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything.' I tell you, if he does not get up to give the visitor the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. I tell you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish, or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord. Well, as I said at the beginning of Mass, we're continuing our journey through St. Luke's Gospel with Jesus to Jerusalem. A couple of weekends ago, it said that Jesus set his face like flint to Jerusalem, to the cross. And so this summer and this fall, our Lord is asking us to accompany him on this journey. Last week, we were in Bethany. We were at the home of Martha and Mary, and we learned a little bit about hospitality. And today, our Lord teaches us about prayer. So first of all, notice that our Lord was, according to Luke, those words that he was praying at a certain place. Isn't that odd that Luke would include that? That Jesus praying at a certain place. The manner in which we pray as well as the place that we pray is important. Look at what we're doing here. We built this beautiful church, this sanctuary, and that's what it is. It's a sanctuary. It's separate. It's a place of refuge. It's not an auditorium. It's not just a room. It's not a place to play basketball or football, although volleyball would be pretty cool in here. But nonetheless, it's not that type of room. This was set aside for prayer. It's a certain place for prayer. It's a place that we can come as a refuge. So whether we pray here vocally or within our mind meditatively, whether we do both by singing or silently, we have surrounded ourselves with the signs of our faith, and we have dedicated this place for a place of prayer. If you're struggling with your own prayer life, you might look at, where are you praying? Where are you praying? Because sometimes we surround ourselves with just too many distractions. So I really encourage you to have a place of prayer in your home, a place that you can kind of surround yourself with some of the signs of your faith, a place that would be familiar for you, but a place that as soon as you arrive, you can relax and you can just sit with the Lord. So not only the manner in which we pray, but where we pray is important. Second thing, our Lord, when they asked him, "Teach us to pray," he didn't teach them necessarily a method, but words. He taught them a rote prayer, R-O-T-E, a rote prayer, a prayer that could be memorized and in fact has been. This is from St. Luke, so we have really three Lord's prayers, three renditions of the same prayer. Matthew is the longest. It's what we use during Mass. Luke's a little bit shorter. And if you really want to pray the rosary a little bit quicker, then use St. Mark's, because it's the shortest of them all. But they pretty much are similar, if not the same. But notice that our Lord gave words to be memorized. Which is more important, prayers of the heart or memorized words? Well, they both are important. Both are vital to our faith. I don't know how many times in my priesthood that I've come to the bed of someone who is comatose or dying. And just last week, I was at the Catholic Care Center. The woman had not been speaking very much at all, but all I had to do is say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," and their lips are moving and their voice is loud enough to be heard. We need to have those rote prayers, those memorized prayers. Yeah, someone else may have written those prayers, but sometimes they articulate what we're feeling or thinking. And sometimes when we're filled with anxious and anxiety, we need that. We need that to get us started. Now, rote prayer should lead us to prayer of the heart, just conversation, just telling the Lord how our day went, the different things that's going on in our lives. So both are important, both that rote ritual prayer and that prayer of the heart. Finally, our Lord also not only tells us how to pray, but he encourages us to be persistent. Remember I told you last weekend, I know you did because you write everything I say down, but nonetheless, the first reading and the gospel reading always parallel. So the first reading, Abraham, he would be a great guy to take when you're going to go buy a car, wouldn't he? He kind of haggles. He was persistent with the Lord over and over. Well, what if? Well, what if this? And what if that? Well, what if this? Almost nonstop. So that's the way we're supposed to pray. Our Lord says, be persistent. Do not lose heart. Constantly keep knocking and be persistent in asking the Father what we need. But notice in today's gospel from St. Luke, the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer was a little bit different than the other two from Matthew or Mark. It says, do not subject us to the final test. The final test. Remember, Jesus has set his face towards Jerusalem, towards the cross. And for our Lord, that final test was going to come to a culmination in the agony in the garden. Father, let this cup pass, but let your will be done, not mine. Testing in our lives is inevitable. So what we're asking the Lord is to give us the grace that is necessary. This is where persistence comes in, because the Lord generally doesn't give us a bank account grace. God doesn't give us a little app that we can go to and say, oh yeah, okay, well I've got 3 cubits of grace, all right, that should be enough. Doesn't work that way. God gives us the grace that we need when we need it. And so that's why we have to be constantly persistent with this relationship with the Lord, so that when we are truly needing the Lord's grace and strength, it will be there because we've already got a relationship established. Our Lord on the cross, he himself was persistent in prayer. He was praying a memorized prayer, Psalm number 22. And it begins with these words, my God, why have you abandoned me? But if you keep reading Psalm number 22, it concludes in this way, but you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me, Lord. You who fear the Lord, praise the Lord. Today, as we continue our journey with Jesus to the cross, to the mountain of Calvary, we're thankful that he has taught us how to pray, and he has reminded us, encouraged us, to always be persistent in our prayer.